wonder if we can have a few words about vision, and not television, vision itself. Because it's amazing how the Spirit of God tells us that we're going to be like Him. As far as the verse is concerned, the verse says, if it is manifested, we shall be like Him, and the reason we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I'm wondering if the brethren could help us a little bit about vision. Because sight is extremely important in the life of the Christian. That what we see is going to shape us, is going to form us. Whether we believe it or not, the Scripture always tells us about our eyes. And whatever you look upon, it's going to affect you. So why is it like in a scene when we shall be like Him? For we shall see Him as He is, because the eyes will not wander anymore. It's going to be focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they are being focused on Him, we shall bear His image. Because that's what sight does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And we behold the glory of the Lord." What happened? We are transformed into the same image. We change from glory to glory. And brethren, we cannot say enough about vision in our days. And the exhortation is not only, so many times we fall into this exhortation, for the young people, watch what you see. Well, absolutely amen to it. Young people, watch what you are looking at. Watch what you are saying. But that exhortation about vision and sight pertains to every believer, old and young alike. What's happening in our days that sight of ours is really bringing chaos and disasters into assemblies, into families, into relationships? How important the exhortation is that we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And the more your eyes and mind are focused and fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, practically speaking, we will be like Him in this scene. So, you know what? It's not enough to teach our young children these Sunday school songs, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father from above is watching down in love." I think it's a song that belongs to each and every one of us. "Oh, be careful, John's eyes, what you see." If we are seeing Christ, amen to it. And if we are seeing things that are ungodly, that are changing that and transforming us into the image of this world, we better watch it, cut it, examine it, and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way, practically speaking, we will be like this blessed one here in the sea.
We don't see Him as He was, all beaten up and marred. We're going to see Him as He is, in all of His majesty and glory and splendor. Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. It's how good to see Jesus, as John just mentioned. We see Jesus by faith, of course, presently, but we will see Him personally, face to face, to be with Him and like Him. So this is not just a physical change, this is a moral change also.
This map, go ahead now, Kevin.
I think the converse also of what you were saying, John, that is, the more we're looking at all these other things, the less we will see of Christ. There's only a certain number of hours in every day. We have all these choices to make as to how we're going to spend our time. He told the disciples in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And if all our time is spent doing all these other things, then we can gather from this verse, we will not see God, at least to the extent that we could.
I was just thinking that before we beat up on each other about how we are negatively, which is true, and we do need some beating up every once in a while, but I was thinking of this. Behold, now are we children of God. And we've been rejoicing in the fact that this is a clear-cut statement of a present reality with us, with what God has done. Now, you and I would have been content with that, wouldn't we be? Right? Just simply content that we are the children of God. But then He says, what we shall be has not yet been manifested. You mean there is more to come? Yeah. I think this should lift our spirits a bit here. Children of God would have been fine.
But he says, no, there's more to come. What we shall be has not yet been manifested, because we know that if it is manifested, we shall be like him. Certainly, John, I agree with vision. Very important thing for us to have clear vision, what we see. But even before yet, looking at our lack of response to what is available to us, I think the challenge is, do I appreciate what I am and what I've been made in Christ? Because then that will change my outlook ultimately on wanting to be something in this world other than what he wants me to be.
Someday we will no longer be able to respond to sin. But as long as we're in this world, we are able to respond. But when we look ahead to what we shall be, we will not respond to anything like that. And we will be like him, and that's what Scripture is telling us here. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. The Lord walked here in sinless perfection, and none of us could claim to have ever done that. But how wonderful that we can look forward to a future where there'll be no sin displayed in any one of us. But that is still future. But even here, do I desire to become more Christ-like? While I am yet here, do I want to be somewhat like him? I know I'll never reach that perfection. I will never be as he was and still is. But is that my desire? And he has set that perfect example. This is the way that we can please him, by striving toward the perfection that we see in our Lord Jesus.
Isn't that why this is set in a positive environment here? This is not just stated as a fact, but it's stated as a prospect. It's something we as saints should anticipate. We look forward to this. Not we just know it's going to happen, but we anticipate. That's why it's presented as hope. He that has this hope in him, that hope produces a purifying effect in our lives. So it's a positive, this is the love of the Father to present a positive thing before us, that we live in anticipation of, that we live every day anticipating this may be the day. It might happen today. The Lord will catch us up to glory, and he'll change us, and we'll be like him forever before the Father. What an anticipation.
Brother John, the word that you use, prospect, can you develop that a little bit?
Yeah, this is something you anticipate. Mm-hmm. You know, when you anticipate something, you know, people plan their vacation, they're anticipating going somewhere. They're looking forward to it, and I think as believers, we should be looking forward to being with and like the Lord Jesus. It's not something we should fear, it's something we should really look forward to in a positive way.
Amen. Yeah, Paul and, it seems that Paul and John agree together, using similar but different language. If you look at Romans 8, you'll find that the apostle brings before us that we are saved with hope in view. But you know what? We're here on earth. We cannot even possess that. There's an internal work in us. But bodily, we wait for that day of redemption, the adoption. And we're going to have it, but we don't have it now. But it's guaranteed to us. And I think this is what we have here. We have been called by the Father in his love, his children. But he has given us a guarantee. Both John in his epistle here and in his gospel, he has brought before us that no man has seen God at any time. And yet, we will see him in his glory, and we shall be like him. And this is a wonderful thing. He says it in Revelation in 22. That they not only shall serve him,
see his face,
but they shall see his face. And I think this is a wonderful thing. And this is why this hope has the power, because it identifies the hope as a person. That he himself, the Son of God, is the hope itself. And in this hope in him purifies us as the children of God who are moving here. And our one desire is to be righteous in the sight of the Father. And we give up the idea of being perfect, because there is one who is perfect in heaven. We are occupied with him in his perfection. He's already reached it. He's accomplished it. He is perfect. And therefore, our occupation is with him who's in the presence at the right hand of God.
I have a question. I don't know if I have my translation is poor, but it says we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Is it that in order to see him, we must first be like him? Dr. Paul.
I would say, Brother Indrek, you can take it in both ways. Yes, there is no question in order for us to see, we have said earlier, in order for us to see him, we definitely have to be like him, because someone who doesn't have what God has given us, love, light, and love, and light, and light, and love, if we don't have these features given from God to us, there'll be no possibility for anyone to be able to see him. To see him in the sense of enjoyment. Because everyone shall see Christ. Just let me say that one more time. Every person will see Christ. The difference is this. You and I will see him in one way. Others will see him before the white throne as the judge. But they will see him. And they will of course perish eternally. But I think the thought over here is to see him in the sense of what he said earlier. There's a thought of contemplation, looking upon, handling him. And as we are into the good of these things, then it has to be on the ground that we are like him.
Brother John, it says here about him being manifested.
Well, we are going to see him, definitely. Everyone will, even though we maybe might have lived lives not morally suitable to him here in a practical way. There is an actuality of things that will take place. We will see him. Also, we will be like him. That's actual. This will happen. But I think what we want to bring to our hearts is that we're not going to wait for the public day of manifestation for these things to take place. There is to be a moral purifying effect of them upon me now, so that it makes a definite change. I see him and I am like him morally at the moment.
But I still feel that the aspect of like him is because of the thought of seeing him. And what we see in him is going to affect us.
Yes, yes.
Simply because, as you said, the impact of it is presently. How did Stephen was conformed to his image? Like if you think in Acts chapter 7, how was Stephen conformed that he could utter the same words of Christ and react toward men that were stoning him the same way Christ would? Why? Because he looked toward heaven. Mm-hmm. And he saw the Son of Man standing. And what he saw affected him. It conformed him to the image of the Lord Jesus, if you will, that he could utter the same words. But the challenge is not only anticipating that which is futuristic, but living in the good of it right now, presently. Because every exhortation the Lord has given us is based on being conformed to his image. For example, when he said in the Gospel of John, love you one another as I have loved you. What's the measure of that love that I have to display? It's the same love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can it be done in this scene? Absolutely. But it requires one to be focused upon the object. Who is Christ Jesus? And thus we are conformed presently. In future it's going to happen. There's no question about it. But how wonderful that we can enjoy it right now presently.
Stephen looked like the Lord Jesus. He talked like the Lord Jesus. He had the same attitude, Father, to hold on to the sins of their charge. He was just like Jesus. He had the Spirit of Christ. Not just the Holy Spirit. He had the Spirit of Christ. He was just like the Lord Jesus.
Was it not more a moral shame? Men looked at him, and he looked at an angel.
Right.
But he looked on Jesus and talked like Jesus. Yeah. There was a moral change. Paul took it up and said, In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. For this mortal shall put on immortality, this mortal that's built our life. And so Paul explains the physical change that will take place instantaneously. John looks at the whole package and says, we don't know exactly what it will look like, but what we know is that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. And Paul said it's in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The complete change, Stephen displayed for us what some of those changes may be like. That under pressure, hated and rejected, he spoke like his Lord spoke at the point of his death. And so there is that moral transformation that will take place. But there is more than the moral transformation. We are born the image of the earthly. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. So there are many more aspects of change that will take place beyond the moral.
We all won't be the same. Some may chance of grain, some may chance of wheat or some other grain. Every star differs in glory. So there'll be differences in glory. We'll all be like Christ, but there'll be differences. And we'll recognize one another too. We'll be known even as we're known. So that's wonderful physically, but like you say, it's a moral change here.
In the attempt of the Spirit of God to touch on the practical issue of behaving resembling Christ, he's bringing that challenge to all of us nowadays. I think this story is a very familiar story. In the days of Alexander the Great, they brought him a soldier that ought to be punished for something wrong he did. So he kind of asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Alexander. He said, son, you either change your behavior or change your name. True, because if you are a part of that great army of Alexander the Great, you ought to behave like him. You are in the wonderful family of God, where Christ is pure. So the Spirit of God is giving us, I think, that challenge. Nowadays is a big challenge. Because in a world, as we heard earlier, that world that is tainted in sin, that world that is put in the evil one, it's very hard, it's a very hard challenge. So as much as I can lay hold of the greatness of Christ, and the greatness of belonging to the family of God, being a child of God, of the greatness of the future anticipated wonderful day when I will be like him, I ought to walk today in a pure way.